Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live again for our second segment of Becoming the Great People We Were Born to Be. So we started out talking about what it's going to take to begin to develop a network and a process and activities that's going to enrich, motivate, inspire, empower, educate, and develop our community. We've talked about a lot of issues. We've had you call in and talk about your issues. So this show is really for you. It's about being able to have your voice. It's about the real people coming to you live, talking about issues and concerns that impact our communities. And so we want to be able to get to a point where we can begin to talk about those things that really, really have an impact on our community and solutions that will allow us to affect our community to become the best persons that we can be. Again, I ask my co-host to call in as soon as he can get in on the line, but until such time, I will open the lines up for comments. Callers. Start with 8128. Welcome. If you're not on the line, please mute your phone. I got some background noise. This show is live, so I need you to protect the interest of somebody getting out the car. Come on, caller. Talk to me. Mute your phone. The lines are open. Hello? This show is live. Talk to me, caller. 435.
Hello?
Talk to me, caller. Yes.
Hi, this is Yolanda. I missed a lot of the other call, but I did catch the end part when we were talking about the education of our children and how important that is. And I just kind of wanted to piggyback on the importance of us as parents and a community being advocates for our kids, because there are so many disparities in education, particularly for our Black children, our Black and brown children. And they're disproportionately, as we know, are tracked to, you know, special education versus gifted programs, as well as disciplined at 6 or 7 times the rate for the same infractions as their white counterparts. And I think that even as I look at my own daughter in the school system, you really have to be an advocate and be consistent. And a lot of times we don't do that, because even as parents, sometimes if you had a difficult time in school or education, you feel insecure in yourself about how you can even help your child. And then I think that's a cycle, because our children continue to slip through the cracks. And so I think one of the things we need to do is to continue to figure out how we empower these parents to be able to advocate on behalf of their children. Because so many of our children are slipping through the cracks in school because they're seeing from a deficit standpoint, that they're applying a deficit model to our children, which means they have to then catch up to their white counterparts just based on the stereotypes of the deficit model that they have for us. And so I think having worked with programs with parents before, I know that that can be truly helpful as an intervention and a catalyst and how we support our children.
Mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right. We need to develop programs outside of the main structure and model. I even think early childhood and early developmental programs that really assist the children, but also the families in terms of teaching and educating and enriching our children would be very helpful. I think we have to be able to work outside of that model and prepare our students better, even inside of the school system as well as outside the school system. What do you have, Stan?
Well, I think as we heard earlier, Sister, I believe she said, we have to be consistent, and we definitely have to be an advocate. And when it comes to the next generation, there should be it should not be an issue. I mean, it should be something that's just a must. And we overlook the reality of the next generation in so many ways that we have failed to prepare various avenues of success for them. All of us are on the shoulders of somebody else. They mm-hmm. paved the way for us to be who we are and what we are. And this generation have lost it. I know I was in a discussion the other night, and I was talking to my missus about the good old 60s sounds, Motown sounds and the groups and things. And we said, what happened? And I said, well, you know, and I'm not against it, you know, because it's a new generational artistic form. But when hip-hop came along, it changed everything. They forgot about group. They forgot about their foundation. A lot of those people who were up in Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, big cities, came up north because of the Industrial Revolution. And they were in – when they were back down south, you know, back way back there where the sun almost refused to shine, they were in church all day. And they would get together and sing songs. A lot of those people were in the church. And this new generation, there a lot of them, you know, they get that was they don't have to go to church. They don't want nothing to do with anything about church. And we've compromised our values so much. It's all in the book. The book has the key to everything. It's the answer. But we've compromised so much that we've contaminated our faith. We've polluted our existence, and we're literally striving for existence. This pandemic, it's ravaged in our communities. It's and our communities are already at the bottom of the total pole. So, excuse me, I don't know. I just think, as she said, we're going to have to be consistent in whatever we do, and we have to be strong advocates.
Okay, so you talked about developing institutions that define our own reality. And I think that when we look at it, we have to be able to do that on a number of levels. So I'm going to open up the lines again for the callers to come in and either respond to the first caller or the first caller come back as well. But I need you to mute your phone if you're not on the line. Callers, talk to me. 8128, you're on the line. Talk to me. Four three five eight. You're on the line. Talk to me.
Yeah, peace once again, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, brother. Come on in.
Yes, sir. I wanted to actually commend the sister that spoke right after me that was speaking about education and the consistency of it, because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, be cheering her on while she was making a point, you know, but, I mean, she was really spot on. And, you know, I wanted to add this to the conversation. You know, I was listening once to a brother named Dr. Amos Wilson, and Dr. Amos Wilson was making a point that that education was a system that started basically to solve the society's problems. And so once we were able to solve a particular problem, then the solution would become culture. And so when our children go to school, one, they're not talking about solving the problems of our community. They're talking about solving the problems of the overall society. So education does still work, but it's just not working for us because it's not focused on the issues that we have. So
here you go.
I think that's what you
did.
Excuse me.
You there, Father?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I just had to deal with my granddaughter for a second. And basically I'm saying, like, even if we started out in small spaces from the beginning with establishing and rebuilding our culture, because a lot of the black intelligentsia of the past, that's what they spoke about. They basically spoke about the biggest thing that hit us the worst was we lost our culture. And so now we're in a foreign culture we don't understand because it doesn't make much sense. Because we're used to a culture that where things are natural or what's normal. But we live in a society where things that are unnatural are classified as normal. So that's not going to really make sense to us as a people. You know, it's just like, yeah, people in this society that have $1 billion, right? One person with $1 billion. Now, basically, it's about 40 million black people in this country. If they gave every single black person $10 million, that's only $400 million. And we still don't have as much money as one billionaire. So that just goes to show you the level of riches and the level of resources that are in this country. And we're not availing ourselves even to our own resource to try to solve some of these problems that we have with resources, because that's, you know, I got a bunch of ideas, like a lot of us. We have a lot of ideas, and then you have trouble. I'm not going to say you can't, because that word can't doesn't really exist. You have a path in front of you that is cluttered because of lack of resources. And so in order to, you know, I can toss thoughts around from now until doomsday. But until I figure my way into securing some resources and some other people around, because even if I tried to do it from a space that I chose, thing is I have to have other responsible adults helping me out, because I don't think that people should just trust their children with just anybody nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so you need responsible, trustworthy adults working along with you and guaranteeing that they're going to show up with their time to accomplish that. So, I mean, those are just some thoughts to throw out there to work towards, because I'm going to continue to work towards, you know, helping our people get out of this mess that we're in.
Okay. Let me see if I can bring some other callers in. The lines are wide open again. If you're interested in commenting and joining discussion, it is open right now. Callers, talk to us. Lines are open. Got a lot of background noise. 8128, talk to me. All right. 0946, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I think that education is crucial, but I also think that parenting, nobody's talking about parenting. one of the things, I mean, it's like it's not even on the table. Education cannot cure, cannot assist, or even take up the brunt of bad parenting. I mean, you just cannot get around when you send kids to school that are coming from dysfunctional households, and then they're coming to a community where they're supposed to cooperate and be motivated and listen and all of that. If you don't have good parenting, then education cannot take up for this deficit that's presented to teachers in the classroom. When I work for the DA's office in Lake Charles, Louisiana, one of the things that they're now saying that our children are coming to school with is what they call a 30,000-word deficit.
Mm.
They're saying our kids get to school unprepared. They don't know how to sit down. They don't know how to take turns. They don't know how to communicate because they sit in front of TV all day or social media. They don't have the communication skills, just some factors that need to be there for the teacher to even begin to be able to teach. And so I don't know why this is not a topic. I would be interested in some responses is why we're not focusing on parenting.
Okay, so you talked about parenting, and we're going to open it up once more, and dysfunctional households, right? And where are our parents getting the skills or the lack of skills? And also, what is the root to the source, if I can say that, of the dysfunctional households that these children are coming from? Callers, open it up, and then I'll come back to you, caller, in just a minute. Anybody want to chime in on that?
I would like to address what the sister just said. I really would like to address that, because what I was talking about in relationship to education is exactly what she's talking about. That she's saying that parenting, but I might not be saying the word parenting, but I am saying that solving our problems as a community, and that would create a different culture, which is we lost our culture, which included expert parenting. And I agree with her wholeheartedly that your children usually perform in school the way that you, if you send them prepared to learn. And I agree with that. But at the same time, I think that we have so many of our young people, young adults, because I'm 66 years old. So when I say young, I'm talking about, you know, people that's in their 30s and 20s. And a lot of our young people don't know how to parent. They don't know how. So we need to have discussions about parenting to teach our people how to parent and to have a program, if you will, to actually teach us how to get back to giving structure to learning for our children, so that our children don't go to school and then become a distraction or a disruption because they're so used to, as the sister said, just being set in front of a television set or playing a video game all day long. And so when you try to give them some type of structure when they get in the classroom, then they're not accustomed to that. So they fight against it. You see, so, I mean, I'm totally in agreement with what the sister was saying, because I usually tell many of the younger people that I get around, whether they're in their 30s or 20s or 40s, that the greatest thing that a human being can be first is a great parent, because the way that you send your kids out into the world, the things that you give them to deal with the world with is all that they have. So I agree wholeheartedly with that concept, and I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. All right, we'll open it up. What you got, Carlos?
My perspective is a little different. My brother, I'm 66, and if I had to do it all over again, I would prepare my kids a little differently. I would definitely stick with kingdom principles. I think we're guilty of teaching our kids how to fit in. You gotta if you don't learn how to fit in, you're never gonna get in. And we need to get past that. We need institutions that define our own reality. I mean, if we go back in time, Timbuktu, I mean, they were doing surgeries now. Come on. And we've gotten, I mean, look at the pyramids. We've gotten so far off our agenda. We've gotten so Eurocentric that we don't even know who we are. And I would tell, not everybody has to go to the college. They don't. And, education without sanctification equals damnation. And so I think that we've gotten this whole thing messed up. We're trying to be like the integrationists who, if you put my desk next to a white boy's desk or the masses of society's desk, then we'll be able to conform or be like them. We need our own institution. We need our own way, and it does take a village.
That's so true. What do you have for us, caller? Line is open. Speak your piece.
I wanted to say that I agree completely with Stan. I think that the importance of how our children are situated to school is very reflective of assimilation, and it takes a lot of how we are culturally indoctrinated into, you know, our as African Americans, that's not seen in the school system. And I think that's so important. Lots of scholars and people have wrote about culturally relevant education, because that is really important, and that's how our students learn. And it also highlights their creativity. But one of the other things I wanted to kind of touch on is someone had said earlier about the parenting of new parents and how new parents and younger generation. And I think that's true. I think it's a mix. I don't think that there is, even when we think about old school parenting, my parents are in their 70s and 80s. And how I grew up, I think there were very healthy, wonderful things that happened. But I also think about how I choose to parent my child. And I think that we also need to look at how we talk to our children, right? Because I think that's important. Yeah, so I think those things that happened previously, right, that it's not just the old school was wonderful. It was, and I thank God for what my parents instilled in me. However, I choose to talk to my daughter and explain things to her in a way that if I had probably asked those things and shut up and listen, do as I say, not as I do, type of situation in which students then, I mean, people, children then become, I think, stifled when they are then pressed by authority in school and they don't know how to advocate for themselves. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. I mean simply even address something that is done to them that might be wrong because they are scared to address authority in any way. And so I think there's a mixture of how we really need to think about how we are empowering our children in ways through parenting skills, not just kind of the mentality of the old school was the best, but what really is the best for our children. And again, not saying like, you know, I think some people are like, oh, let me talk to my child and then the child be disrespectful. I just mean simply talk to a child and allow them the voice and the opportunity to actually have a conversation and not be stifled by that, if that makes sense. That's all I want to say.
It makes good sense.
Yeah. Old school was kind of rough. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Okay, 094, come on back in. Come on back in.
Yes, I was listening to Yolanda, and I was smiling because, yes, old school parenting was rough. It really was. We our parents were D in the CPS department or jurisdiction these days for the way some of us were parented back in the day. But I think that part of what Yolanda was saying about children having a voice and knowing how to communicate, and so what does that look like? So when we go back to parenting, whatever the unit looks like that's going to develop the child and have the child be in a place where they can advocate for themselves, can speak up for themselves, are motivated, and understand how to work in a cooperative system is going to be important. But I think that that's where the root of the problem is that what that unit, parenting, like you say, I'm not saying it needs to go back to old school parenting, but that job that parents are doing with their children says everything, because when the children get to school, they are a reflection of what is going on in the home. So if they can't cooperate in school, they're not learning cooperation in the home. If they don't know how to speak up at school, it's because they're not given opportunities to speak up for themselves at their home. So I don't know what the answer is, but the unit, the family unit, however that is defined today, something's got to happen there first, because the educational system simply cannot close that deficit when children get to school and do not have these necessary skills that are necessary for them to learn. The school, the educational system just cannot close that gap. They just can't.
True. True. Well, we have 2 minutes left in the show. 30 minutes passes by so quickly. So we'll go back through one time. Final comments from our callers. We'll start with 7974, then we'll go to 4358 and 0946, and then we'll end with Stan. Please be lean of expression. We have a little bit of time left. 7974, you there?
Yeah, again, I just think that the conversation is really, you know, enriching. I think empowering the parents is the key. I think also making sure that once the students get into the system as children, that we serve as advocates. But I also would say that these deficits don't end in terms of preparation in K through 12. I work at a university, and students, particularly black and brown students, pay a lot of money to take remedial classes at top-tier universities for 2 years. So, I mean, I think that we need to think about this holistically, you know, and not just where it is, but how those deficits are following them to college and putting more and more debt on them. That's it.
Okay. All right, 4358, what you got?
Well, I wanted to reiterate the fact that, you know, parenting doesn't really have an age on it. And when I said that we need to have discussions about parenting, I didn't mean that I was being condescending to younger people, because you have some parents that are 20 years old that are better parents than some that are 60. So the age time is not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the same way that we're having a discussion on this radio channel. We need to have these type of discussions all the time on a consistent basis in other places. You know, so I'm open to anything that will help the condition of our people. I don't believe that our people went from being the scientific-minded people of the world in the 11th and 9th and 10th century to people that whose children are killing each other, can't learn, attention deficit disorders, all these kind of crazy things that's going on with us. All of that stuff is a product of the enslavement process we went through. So I don't want to take up all the time, so I'm done.
All right, we'll have to come back next week and finish the conversation, but we're out of time. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. And we'll get back to this next week. Thank you to all the callers, and keep being motivated, keep being inspired, keep empowering, and become the best people that you can be today and every day, 365.